Welcome to Lose the Gut Podcast. It's the only podcast you'll need to have the information to lose the gut and get abs the first time in your life. I can help you do this by teaching you through mindset, nutrition, and training, because these are three core fundamentals that you'll need. So let's go dive into today's episode.
So any thoughts about the keto diet, tips on choosing superset when you're limited on workout time? Why do we track workouts? Why do some people see changes faster than others? And genetics in fat loss. I should add a couple of topics in here because there's less topics in this week itself. Now, normally, I never ever added topics, maybe one, that's the maximum. But this week, we're adding a couple, and I feel like some people in here, also the reasoning behind some things can help maybe convince some people on why they should do some things. Because let's just say somebody tells you to, let's say, eat sweet potatoes or eat this certain food, pineapple. And then you're like, okay, well, you don't really have a reason to, and just like, well, you just kind of told me that. But once you hear the reason behind that one, specifically, you're more like bought into that reason, and maybe that could help you out. And these things will definitely help you out. So that's why I kind of add them. And also, some people also get frustrated. Let's say when some people see changes faster than the others, look at your friend, and then like, what the heck, right? So I'm going to explain some things over here. I've really definitely been that route, and social media is not a great route for that, because we always see pretty much the best of the best and highlight those ones. We don't see the averages, and we don't see the worst over there, right? We always see the best of the best and the craziness, which is why that's outliers. And I would say I'm definitely an outlier in that kind of case, right? So that's why I do have pretty much big following too as well. And yeah, so with that being said, thoughts on the keto diet? I think it's absolutely great if you want to lose weight fast in the short term. Now, the reason for this too as well is because when you eliminate all carbs in this kind of aspect, well, a lot of your water weight is going to drop, because about like 1 gram of carb holds about like 4 milliliters of water. So just by cutting out all your carbs, depending on your glycogen storages too as well, which is basically your muscles, they have glycogen, which is stored carbs, you're going to lose a lot of water weight, and you're going to see this drastic change in your body really fast. Now, the problem with that is once you really kind of get, let's say, or eat carbs once again, you crave into that burger with a bun again because you hate the lettuce wrap. Or let's say pizza. I love pizza. I can give that up. And you cave into a pizza, you're going to have that weight spike up pretty fast for you again. And your body's not really going to be able to handle those carbs very well, because it's going to shoot your blood sugar levels and insulin levels are going to drive through the roof, and your body's not used to that. And you're going to be putting on a lot more fat faster just due to that hormonal reason, but also the fact that your body didn't have carbs before, and now when it has the carbs again, it's going to hold that water. So great for short term though. Like, let's say you need to lose as much weight, fat, or do a photo shoot, go to a beach or something like that, and you really want everything you can, get those away in like a month or 2 months, even weddings, some people do that too as well. And I could see that. Now, some people absolutely love it for the brain side of things. They feel like they can focus really well, but that's after you get into the ketogenic state, which might take like a month or so to really fully get into that one, right? Because it's very easy to get out of that ketogenic state with any trace source of carbs. So overall though, I feel like keto is not really everybody on that kind of aspect. If not for most people, I have a harder stance against it, just because of the fact that I've seen it time and time again all throughout my workout life, especially when it started blowing up back in like 2018, 2019, was on the rise. So many people, some of my friends have tried that. And I think only one of them I knew stuck with it longer for than a year. Everyone else, when they did it, and then they did it, stopped, blew back up, right? So, and that's usually within, I would say, 3 months. And that's typical kind of range itself. Well, not kind of aspect where it really kind of lasted and they're committed to like keto diet. And I got asked about it all the time. And just through seeing everybody kind of do it, also hearing about it too as well. And it's very much for the outliers. So let's just say you did it, felt amazing on it, and you really had, let's say, done like pizza, really not really like a foodie in that aspect, really care for food at all. And just really staying off that, directly pretty much meat in that kind of aspect, and you feel great on that, then hey, that might be like a good, 2 to 3% of that kind of people. If you're on that category, props to you. I personally could not do that. Don't recommend it for most people. All right, so tips on choosing superset when you're limited on workout time. So how I do superset is always opposing muscle groups. But to say your chest and your back, they're opposing muscle groups. Because when your chest works, your back rests. When your back works, your chest rests. Right? So any pushing motion itself is usually going to involve your chest, shoulders, tricep, and any pulling motion is usually going to involve your back and biceps, which is why you try to look two together in terms of the workout sequence anyways. So So what that means is if we're working at chest, tries, and shoulders to some extent, and we could also superset that up with a back exercise now, aka doing them back to back. So while one's resting, the other one's working. And now when the other one's working, the other one's rest, right? So they never really overlap on that sense and they're fresh. So that's how we want to look at superset, is how do they not interact with that muscle group? You're not going to go bicep exercise on that kind of aspect or a back to bicep exercise because they're all going to overlap on that aspect. You're going to fatigue the muscle. You're not going to emit the most amount of stimulus on that muscle, which needs to drive the hypertrophy and drive that muscle growth. Hopefully that makes sense, right? So dumb it down language is if you hit the same muscle groups, overlapping those ones, doing them the same, you're going to tire up that muscle and therefore you're not going to lift as heavy and therefore you're not going to gain that muscle on that kind of side of things. Because if to push that muscle to a certain extent, it causes a certain amount of fatigue in that muscle to grow that muscle. All right, so back and bis, you could do superset, aka a back exercise with a chest exercise. You do bicep exercise, superset like a tricep exercise. They're opposite muscle groups, right? Even a quad exercise or the hamstring exercise, because the other one is working, the other one's not, right? I mean, I could even go to the extent of their shoulders and calves too as well. We'll definitely not work over there. Or if you're doing an upper body split, you could do an upper body exercise and do lower. You're not going to be overlapping. So basically, bottom principle is when you choose those supersets in the aspect, and you're going to see it in your workout program too as well, they're not going to overlap. Now, sometimes they do an overlap in terms of like a cable chest fly to do like a decline push-up or something like that. And that's more of like an exhaustion tilt failure and really pushing it to that extent, more of like a driving that blood flow to the muscle and really driving that fatigue stimulus to the max in that aspect, right? So that's what I might do in that kind of aspect, but it's very kind of specific on those reasons. But in terms of like actual work set and the other normal sets in that kind of aspect, you want to do the opposing muscle groups. All right, so with that being said, and I usually do that for just pretty much more so like bodyweight exercise, or I might do it even to a cable chest press or like a cable chest fly, just because they're very kind of stimulus, very similar stimulus, but one's more of a stretch and one's more of a contraction kind of base, and doing the same more back-to-back on over there, you might be able to maximize the blood flow to that certain muscle and drive that stimulus and maximize that fatigue on that given area in that set too as well. All right, so that's very, very taxing on that muscle, by the way. All right, so why do we track workouts? So we track workouts because we want to make sure we're progressively overloading. Now, each body is very different. I'm going to give a lot of context to this as well, because generally 12 to 20 sets per week is the threshold of what we should be doing. Now, some people can handle even more than that, and some people can handle less than that. Me, for example, I have to stick between definitely more of like 12 to 20. I would say more of like even that 12 to like 15, that's where my body can really recover from. Any more than that, like I remember I had one coach, he put me on like 40 sets of back per week on that aspect. And that was like back last March. I had this new guy, he was very, very big fan of like lots and lots of volume, lots and lots of sets, right? And man, I had the overtraining symptoms once again, and I got weaker from workout to workout. So my first workout, by the time the next workout came over there, I was tracking workouts, and all my numbers were going down. Right? So I was eating everything exactly on plan. My sleep was pretty shitty because I was overtraining. I'd wake up a lot. I was very fatigued. I felt sick more often, where I was like had a runny nose and everything like that. And I was like, well, I'm tired during the day. That all the symptoms of overtraining. Actually, well, I'd say more under recovering, right? Because overtraining is hardest to do, but I was under recovered, right? My body only recovers from so much. So it's all about how much your body can recover from person, right? So it's, I know some people like, I think him, he personally does a lot more in that aspect, and my body just cannot, right? So with that being said, you want to make sure we're tracking those workouts so you can monitor that. For instance, in my case scenario, when I saw my numbers going down in terms of reps, in terms of weight-wise, I let him know and we kind of drop back that down. I gave him the heads up beforehand, but he's like, no, let's try it, let's see how it works. And I told him all the symptoms I was feeling and saw the numbers go down too as well. I told him about that. He's like, okay, yeah, you're right, right? Now, for you, what I like to say to my clients, why I review the numbers too as well. And sometimes I might even add some set and play around with that one and see if we get even a little bit more. But now, if you notice numbers, let's say, drop off itself or go downwards or something, maybe, I mean, also depends on the deficit and not too as well. And how much of a deficit they are, I kind of have these all contributing factors and also progress photos and making sure I kind of see that. But it's always trying to like push the most amount of volume in terms of what they come from, because sometimes maybe they can handle even more. And it's like that slope we have to kind of find, because sometimes you push too much, Now, you might not be making as much progress. We want to maximize that, but also recovery-wise, in terms of like cardio-wise, because we do like HIIT cardio now too as well, especially. That's going to impact recovery-wise. We might impact numbers, and if we decrease the food, that impact recovery because we're anabolic. So it's like, okay, well, how do we play around with all these tools and also see how that body reacts and also feedback from the client in terms of how they're feeling and how strong they're getting, right? So it's all these little small things to play with and making sure we are going in the right direction. But I would say going a little bit under is always better than going over, because if you're going over, then you're going to be pretty much more like plateaued and not really going up the numbers. If you're going under, let's say in terms of amount of sets we are doing in terms of the aspect, we're still being able to add more weight because we are recovered fully, and therefore we should be able to push more. Hopefully that makes sense. All right, so why do some people see faster changes than others? So one of the reason is body fat distribution. So let's just say, and also genetics. Well, that's two of those parts in this one question. So for me, for example, when I cut down, my body fat in my belly actually goes down pretty much fast, like right away, right? Now I actually haven't been greater than probably, let's say 20% or 18% is probably the fattest I've been in my life over there. So I don't know if I was like 25%, maybe something. One of my other body parts was slimmed down a little more. But anyways, from the times, every time I cut down, my core changes noticeably very fast, right? So other people might look at that and be like, what the heck, right? This guy made so much changes very fast. And where do most people look at first when they look at a body? They look at the core, they look at the gut over there. Now, a lot of people, that's the last spot they lose off fast, their core and their gut over there, right? So they might get more frustrated. They might lose a little more off the face, and they lose a little bit more off the legs. They might lose some more off the back. I remember when I had one of my clients named Victor, and like his front changed a little bit, but his back like dramatically changed, like holy crap, like in like I think the first like 8 weeks, like he had like a decent, like okay lean back, but like by the time 8 weeks came, it was like a caught to shredded back, but his front was like hadn't changed too much. It was crazy. I was like, what the heck, right? Now for me, my back pretty much leans out last, also my face too as well. My face is the frustrating part, I'm not gonna lie, I did it, right? So I would say probably when I'm like 3 or 4 weeks out, that's when my face really changes. That, well, that's like, come on, man, really? Because like I'm personally insecure with my chubby cheeks, I'm not gonna lie. So like it's really frustrating for me. But the point is we all change at a different rate at different spots too as well. That's why some people might be more frustrated than others, because where they lose bad off first and when they lose the last, it's all different genetically from person to person. Now, some people also genetically, like for example, Mexicans or it's Eastern people itself, they tend to gain muscle mass a lot more quickly versus me or Asian kind of genetically, if we gain muscle a little more slow, but we lose fat a little bit faster. Versus like a Mexican itself or the Latin American culture, they lose fat a little bit slower on that kind of aspect, right? So different kind of regions also have these kind of balances and where that kind of comes from too as well. So I find that very fascinating in that genetic component, more from an evolutionary standpoint. But a lot of it basically all comes down to genetics, also bad quality fat distribution, and where we lose that first too as well. But also a big portion that you could actually truly count on yourself and what you should be looking at that is, am I doing everything possible, right? Am I doing everything possible? Am I doing everything my coach said to do, right? That's the biggest part you always want to focus it on, because you always look at the external factors and like looking at others, comparing yourself to others. That's only going to make you feel more frustrated. And I've been that person too as well. And it is not good. It's not good for the mental. It's not good for you. And it only is going to lead to the worst in terms of negatively affecting you mentally, because, well, you can't control that. So hopefully that makes sense. All right. So that pretty much covers genetics and the fat loss component too as well, that kind of aspect. So that being said, thanks for listening to the podcast.
Thanks for tuning into the Lose the Gut podcast. If you got value from this one and really learned something and want to take it one further step forward so you can lose the gut and finally get your abs, just DM me on Instagram at KevinWoo_gut, and we can have a conversation to see if how to help you out. Cheers.